this book of Titus, chapter number 2. Book of Titus, chapter number 2. And we'll continue our look over there where we have been the last couple of... Well, we've been in Titus chapter 2 last week. We started it. We've been in Titus for a few weeks now. And remember, we're concerned about church order. We're concerned about church order. Key verse, chapter 1, verse number 5. Paul said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanted." And he has order within the church in chapter 1, bringing leadership in. Order among the church in chapter 2, the church members among themselves. And then order without or outside the church in chapter 3. He's going to tell us how to live and how to walk. Now, in chapter number 2, we'll begin at verse number 1. He says, "But speak thou," Paul speaking to Timothy, "but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Verses 11 through 15, we'll read these verses as well. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Now, this morning, what I want to look at, we dealt with the older men last week. We dealt with those, what we call the old heads. We dealt with the old men last week. And some of the commentators I read after said a lot of times the older men in society were considered to be about 50 years old. So I guess I'm still a young man, and some of y'all in here, well, you aren't young men. We'll just leave it at that. Amen. Well, it says here the aged men. And there's not a thing wrong with being an older man. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that the children are to rise up before the hoary head, the gray-headed man. And there's not a thing wrong with gray hair. I know some fellows, they like that Grecian formula. If you use it, that's fine. I may use it later on down the road myself. I have no idea. But I got a few gray hairs coming up here. And I don't know if that's because I've got teenage boys or not. I have no idea. But there's nothing wrong with being an older man, not a thing wrong with it. And in fact, younger men need to respect older men. Younger men need to. I've been around, I think I've told you this, been around some young men who, they kind of tell the old men how things are. I just have a problem with that. Young men need to sit down and listen to older men. And so with the aged men, he gave 6 instructions. He told them to be sober, grave, and temperate. We mentioned that. Sober as opposed to being drunk. To have good judgment in their mind. The Bible says they're to be grave. That means serious. Their deportment needs to be a serious deportment. They need to be concerned with the things of God. Again, there's not a thing wrong with having a good nature and a good humor. God's made us creatures who are comprised of a full range of emotions. And I wouldn't give a plug nickel for a man who didn't get mad at some things. You ought to get mad at a few things. You ought to have some gumption about some things. There ought to be some desire to take some leadership in some things. That's just kind of what men do. That's what we do. And so men ought to be sober, to be grave. They're to be temperate. They're to exercise self-control. Just because a person is an older man does not mean that the lust of the flesh goes away. Remember, a younger preacher went up to an older preacher who was in his late 70s and asked him, how old do you have to be before the flesh stops bothering you as far as, you know, lustful thoughts and things like that? And this man who was in his 70s told the younger man, young man, you'll have to ask someone who's older than I am. That's going to be in every one of our hearts, as long as we're here. And so, older men are to be temperate. They're to have good self-control. And they're going to be sound. Notice this in three things. They ought to be sound. And remember, the word sound means healthy. It's a medical term having to do with the general overall goodness of the health of something. So if a man is sound in faith, he's got a healthy faith. It's been exercised. It's not faith that sat on a shelf, it's exercise. That's why we labor, we work. You know, you can do push-ups, you can walk. Some guys lift barbells, you know, they do curls and bench press and, you know, shoulder press and squats and lats and all those, when you do the lat exercise, all those type things. A lot of people do those things. I remember back in the day, I used to do those things, but now I just, the only curls I do are from the plate to my mouth with a fork. That's the only curls that I do. That's it. Amen. Some of y'all do them too. That's exactly right. I can see y'all been working out too. A whole lot. That's right. So, but honestly, all joking aside, we need to be sound in some things. Sound in faith. A healthy faith is one that's exercised. One where you've come up to a bump in the road and you've got to put it into spiritual four-wheel drive and get over those humps. If you understand what I'm saying. You've got to be sound in charity. The love aspect. Charity is not simply you giving money to the Salvation Army or donating your old unneeded clothes that are in decent condition to the Hope House, which is not a thing wrong with donating those clothes to folks like that. But when we talk about charity, we're talking about love in action. The word charity means love in action. It's one thing to say to Brother Artie, Brother, I love you. It's another thing to open up my billfold and show him how much I love him if he's running to hard times. Now, Brother Artie's not running to hard times yet, so I'm just using him as an example because you're just right there in the crosshairs. Brother, maybe you just need to move seats so I don't shoot at you all the time, brother. But honestly, if we love somebody, it's going to come down to the point to where we'll open up a billfold and help them out if we need to. We've got to be willing to do that. And charity is love in action. It doesn't always have to be opening a billfold up. It may be where you go to the house and you wash clothes for somebody. I remember my dad telling me, and another man that I remember I used to go to church with, his mother used to take their washboard, walk up and down Rocky Branch helping folks out who were sick, ladies who'd had babies. They'd take the washboard, they'd go over to their home, they'd wash the clothes, take care of things, maybe cook a meal or two to help them out when they were down. That's something that we need to recover in this day and time. Now, I know it's a whole lot easier to go to Walmart and get some fried chicken, get a thing of potatoes, and go down and give it to them. There's not a thing wrong with that if that's all you can do. But really and truly, our churches, can I say this, our churches are way too independent. Now, I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. I'm not part of any kind of an associational hierarchy. That's who I am by conviction. But I want to say this, that our churches need to exercise charity to the point to where it gets us out of our house and it gets us to other people's houses when folks need help. When folks need help. And I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm real good about opening up my mouth and sticking my foot in it sometimes. But if somebody comes to help you, take the help. Take it. There's not a thing wrong with receiving help. You don't want to cheat the other person out of a blessing. I preached one time in a little country church 12 years ago. And the brother came up and gave me, you know, a Baptist handshake. It had money in it. And I said, Brother, I don't need that. I mean, really, I said, I'm fine. You know, being super spiritual, you know. I'm fine. I don't need that. And he looked at me and he said this. He said, when somebody wants to be a blessing to you, let them be a blessing. He said, I was preaching a meeting one time. And a lady came up to me after the meeting, gave me this little wooden plaque. It had a little Christian poem on it. And he said, oh, honey, I don't need that. You keep that. You need that more than I do. And he said, I broke that woman's heart by not taking that plaque. He said, I should have taken that plaque from that lady. He said, I didn't mean to hurt her feelings at all. It just, I didn't need it. I just thought she was giving me a little too much of something. Maybe that was dear to her. Well, that's the reason she gave it. Because it was dear to her and she wanted to show her love and appreciation. So there's nothing wrong with exercising some charity. And we need to also be sound not only in faith and charity, but in patience. I don't know about you, but many of us want patience and we want it now. Amen. I mean, I can still hear my mother to this day. You need to learn patience. I thought that's why I wanted to be a doctor. I'll take patience that way. But unfortunately, many of us don't have that trait as well honed, as well sharpened as it ought to be. When I get on the road, I get impatient. Ain't nobody in the world knows how to drive but me when I'm on the road. And some of you probably feel the same way. And when it's rainy outside, people ought to know that you don't drive a certain way to keep people from having a wreck. You don't do 50 and a 65 or 50 and a 70. You just don't do those type things. Well, that's the Lord teaching me patience. The word patience here carries with it the idea of endurance or steadfastness. And a lot of times, we come to a place where it's kind of like now. The church is kind of, here we are as a church, not growing numerically a lot. I mean, we'll have, you know, good numbers on some days and not as high numbers on other days. And you know what we got to do? We got to be steadfast in that. We can't just throw our hands up and say, well, God's not doing anything. The last time I checked, God did not invite any one of us to any kind of meeting in heaven to tell us He wasn't doing anything. God is always working behind the scenes to do something in the hearts of people every time. Say, preacher, do you have any scripture for that? You know me better than that. Isaiah chapter number 55. He tells us that the word that goeth forth out of my mouth will not return unto me void, empty. God doesn't send, as it were, a cup out to distribute the word, to pour the word on folks, and that cup come back empty because God's not gotten any return off of His investment. God always gets return off of His investment. I'm going to tell you, every single one of these little booklets, if we put them into a bag, stick them on a doorknob, and somebody takes them and tosses it in the trash, this word is not going to return void. It will come back at the great white throne judgment and will witness against the people who tossed the literature into the trash because they didn't want anything to do with a bunch of religious fanatics. You know I'm telling you right. God's word does not return void. So we've got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we work, it's going to come back. So, older men have got to have patience and endurance. They've got to have that. Now, let's move on here just a little bit. There are five instructions that are given to the aged women, the older ladies. Now, what instructions are given? Look in verse number 3. The aged women, likewise. So their pattern of instruction is going to be very similar to what the men were told, where they've got to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. Likewise here, they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Notice this, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women. So we've got some things that they need to do. Now, before I go on and look at some of these in particular, let me give you something that I read that I thought was really good as far as commenting on why did he talk about the aged men and women? Why did he do that? Well, you always begin, first of all, with those who are in leadership, those who are older. We begin with older men who should be leaders in the church. And then we kind of move down, as it were, maybe kind of the chain of command, so to speak. But I remember the other day one of the preachers was talking and he said this, and he might be 48, 49, 50, not an old man by any means. But he mentioned this. He was talking to one of the other preachers and he said that, I can't do what I used to do anymore. He said he and the other preacher were talking and one of the men said, yeah, he'd go out to a meeting in Texas and he'd drive back from Texas. Wouldn't be a big deal to drive all that way back from Texas and then jump out, you know, preach a meeting somewhere else or going to the church. You know, you lay down and sleep for an hour and you get up and you preach and, you know, you just keep going and going and going. And he said, you know what? I'm past those days now. I'm past those days. And many folks who are getting a little older, they know that their time of what you and I would call usefulness, what the world would call usefulness, is kind of past. I noticed that when I was down at Ridgeview in the fellowship hall, a lot of the ladies who used to do a lot of the work years and years ago have since been kind of rotated out a little bit to where they can enjoy fellowshipping with folks. And the folks who were in their 20s and 30s were doing a lot of the elbow grease work in the kitchen, serving tables, cleaning stuff up, serving the guests, checking to make sure people had things. And that's good. We need to train those younger folks to do those type things. But here's a problem. Here's a problem. A lot of times, if that happens, older folks will begin to think, what am I any good for? What use do I have? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this, you know, the person might say, they've put me out to pasture. You know why Paul is dealing with older men and older women here in this passage? You see, for older men, many times the regrets of life come back on us. I mean, already I can look back and think, if I could change the way that I raised my boys, I would rewind time 18 years and go back and start all over again. Can I get a witness on that? I did everything perfect, preacher, not me. Well, tell you what, I'll sit down and let you preach. Yeah. I would like to go back and fix some stupid mistakes that I made as a parent. And I can look back and I can, if I take a look back, I can see where I made mistakes. And if I concentrate on that, I mean, I need to go to the doctor and get me some Paxil or Zoloft or something, because I mean, I'm going to fall into depression like you wouldn't believe. If you camp out in your past, you are going to end up one miserable person. You can't go back and fix things. What has been done, and it is not going to change. And see, older men may come to the end of life and they'll say, I've done everything and there's nothing else for me to do. Hey, there is something for you to do. Be a leader. Be an example. Stand up. When the preaching gets on, it ought to be some of the older men getting up going, hey man! And just letting it go. The preacher, I'm not vocal. Well, don't let me catch you at the ball game. Oh, don't let me catch you at the ball game. I shouldn't even say this, but I was down by visiting the Blands the other day, and poor Miss Bland, bless her heart, she's got a lot of nerve problems. Y'all know she's got a lot of pain and all. Bless her heart. You know, Brother Ralph gives her such a hard time. I know y'all didn't know that, but she's got a special reward in heaven, I'm telling you. Brother Ralph just gives her a hard time. And he says, preacher, it's a miracle. Every Sunday when the colds come on, he said, she don't have any pain in her body at all. It's like, oh, brother, come on. Leave that poor woman alone. Leave that poor lady alone. Bless her heart. And she just kind of laughed a little bit and laughed it off. And I understand. But I know many times when you're younger, I know that I've seen people, they have shouted all over the place at a ball game. And when they come in, they're just nice and quiet as little church mice. They don't get upset. I mean, nothing. I mean, you could set off a, you know, ton of C4 next to them and they just... It ought to be the older men who are leading in worship. It ought to be. I remember hearing Brother Sammy Allen preaching a message one time. And he mentioned when he had the camp meeting, this has been back, well, he still got the camp meeting down there, probably about, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago or so, 35 years ago, Dr. Harold Seidler was down there. Brother Seidler started, you know, Tabernacle Baptist College down there, Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. What wonderful man of God, good man of God. And he said this, there was one service where he was up on the platform with Brother Seidler at Brother Allen's camp meeting, and he said that Brother Seitler was saying some words under his breath, and he kind of leaned over and listened to him. And he was quoting those verses over in Isaiah, I believe it was, where it said, "Rise up, O well, rise up, O well." He was just waiting on God to begin to move. He said it wasn't long after that, he said, that Dr. Seitler stood up and began to lead in the praise like a general in front of an army. That's what it's going to take, is some older men to get up and lead in that, to lead in those type things. You older men are not useless. We're not putting you out to pasture. We're not going to let you sit down. We're going to work you like a rented mule. I'm telling you, that's just the way it's going to be. We're not going to let you get by with it. Brother Hardy, when you get arthritis in your fingers and you're not able to play, that just ain't going to be no excuse. Just tough it out and get up here and play. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. Preacher, I just don't feel like it. I don't care, brother. Get up here and play. Get up here and play. I'll bring your chair back there, move the speakers back, and get up here and play. So a lot of times men have regrets. And many times, ladies, here's what happens. You've raised your family. The children are out of the house. Now that your children are doing their own thing, you might babysit some grandchildren here and there. But by and large, you really don't have anything to contribute to the church. Can I get a witness on that? Well, when a lady feels that way, here's what one man said. As children grow up and leave home, the older woman's focus may become less defined as her family responsibilities become less demanding. This may contribute to feelings of uselessness, loneliness, low self-esteem, self-pity. Paul suggested in this passage that older women should possess personal godliness, be worthy of respect, and play, get this, here's what this man says, an essential role in the lives of the young women in the church. The concept of spiritual mentoring is evident in this passage. That means you older ladies are to be an example to my little girls. You are to be an example. You are to be an example. That means that when you, listen to me, and I know this is a touchy area, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you ladies address your husbands in public, you need to show that you address your husbands in a respectful manner. Don't correct him in public. Don't say bad things about him in public. Don't undercut him in front of a group of people to make him look bad. Christians don't do that. Christians don't do that. And by the way, fellas, you don't talk mean and hateful to your wife. In church or out of church. Hey man, can I get a witness on that? It's exactly right. Any man talks trash to his wife, somebody ought to trash him. Amen. There's a dumpster. Well, I shouldn't say that. I better stop. All right. I have no use for men who talk down to their wives. There's no sense in that. I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And I don't see Christ talking down to the church. Now I see Him correcting the church when it needs to be corrected. I see Him sending discipline into the church when it needs to be disciplined. But I don't see Him talking down to it. So having said that, you ladies are to be an example to show my little girls how older women treat their husbands. Now that doesn't mean you have to walk 5 feet behind them. Doesn't mean that. But don't cop an attitude in the church house toward the preacher. I'm nobody, but I'm just telling you, toward the husband. You don't do those type things. Why is that? My family, your grandchildren need to have a godly example of how women are to treat their husbands. One of the men who preached down there was preaching on the home and said this, that his attitude wasn't right. His wife got her heart right about some things before he ever got his heart right. He said, my attitude was bad. And he said, down home, we just call this, and I thought about you, Brother Kevin. He said, we call this nagging. Not that your wife nags you. I'm just talking about your little ringtone over there. If you haven't heard his ringtone, that's what I'm talking. It's a ringtone. You have to hear it to understand it. Amen. But it's nothing bad. It's nothing bad. Right, it's nothing bad. Some of you ladies are looking at me awful funny. I promise you, it's nothing bad. It's just one of those funny things. But he said, my wife was just, she nagged. She was a nagger person. She just nagged all the time. That's all she did. Well, he said that she got her heart right about some things and quit nagging. She got what 1 Peter chapter 3 says was a meek and a quiet spirit and began to serve him. to love him and to honor him as her husband. She would get down beside him on the he would be in the bed. She'd get down to pray, and he said, I knew she was praying for me whenever she'd reach up and grab a hold of my foot and she'd pray. Can I tell you, it didn't take long after that for him to get his heart right. He's preaching now, got a family of five, pastoring a little church out in Middle Tennessee. And I'm telling you, it really blessed my heart to hear how God could still take the Scripture and still work today. Scriptures work. So ladies, what we're going to do next week is we're going to come back and we're going to revisit these characteristics of what you are to do is to be an example. First of all, you're to have holy behavior. Your behavior is to be holy. Just as the men here are to be sober and to be temperate and grave and sound in faith, charity, and patience, your behavior is to be holy behavior as well. They need to, our girls need to see that. We have more young ladies than, you know, seem like as we do young men at times in the congregation. But you've got to live in such a way that's holy. Not be a false accuser. Now why? Why does Paul say false accusers here? Probably because the Cretans were always liars. He said that up in chapter 1, verse 12. The Cretans are liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. They just lied all the time. Well, that might be a problem that some of the women might have had over there because that was part of the culture. But Paul says don't be false accuser. By the way, that word false accuser, you know what the word is in the Greek language for that? It's the same word that is translated devil, slander. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Remember that in Revelation chapter 12, I believe it is? And when women are false accusers, guess whose side they appear to be on? They appear to be on the devil's side. That's what they appear to be. So, we can continue with that, but I'm going to tell you this. First of all, you older men, and I know there's not a whole lot of you in here, you're not expendable. You're not needed. You are needed. You're wanted. And don't get mad. I'm not going to give any. You know, if you get mad and leave, I ain't going to give nobody a letter. You ain't getting no letter from me, no church, no nothing. I ain't doing it. Not doing it. Amen. I'm not going to do it. We'll keep you here. Tough apples. You can't go nowhere. So, preacher, you mean that? Sure, I mean it. I said it. I mean it. You older men are needed. You older ladies are needed. You're needed. And when we say that you're needed, there is a role for you to play just in your demeanor in the church, in town, at a get-together. I mean, pretty soon we're going to go over to the Bucklands here in a couple of weeks and spend time over there. Ladies, you ought to act like ladies, dress like ladies, have talk like ladies, you know, have good conversation. Get around and joke a little bit. Have fun. Have some fun. Show people that you can joke some. But remember that you are ladies regardless of where you are located. And that ladylike example, God expects you to be that example toward the younger women. We'll pick up there next week. Father, take what's been said this morning. Use it for the glory of Christ that He would be pleased with us, Lord. The only way we can please You is to be in Him. We pray that Christ would be magnified in our service today and help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.